Next Monday, the annual International River Symposium begins, which Saturday Extra has really kept a watching brief on ever since it began. It's held in Brisbane each year, and it brings together people who, in different ways, are involved in quite remarkable work to restore the world's river systems. My next guest is no stranger to Brisbane and the River Symposium. He's a River Foundation ambassador. Olita Ogonjo is from Nairobi, and he coordinates water-safe programs in slum areas near the Kenyan capital. Working with him every step of the way now is the Tweed Shire Council in northern New South Wales. Olita Ogonjo is a sociologist and educator. And in 2003, he met Mike Rayner, the general manager of the Tweed Shire Council. And these two have developed an incredible program to improve access to safe drinking water and sanitation for some of the poorest Kenyans. So I'm delighted to now welcome Olita and Mike Rayner to Saturday Extra. Welcome.
Thank you, Geraldine. Thank Wonderful you. To be here.
Olita, if you. I could come to you first. The first seeds of this safe water project took place at an informal settlement area called Kibera near Nairobi. Could you give us a picture, please, of this settlement in terms of the numbers of people living there and the problems people have had with water supply?
Yeah, Kibera is a settlement in Nairobi, very distinct. It's one of the largest in Africa. Very populated, informal, that's how we call it, off people settlement, but essentially slum, poor housing. People there don't have access to potable water and sanitation. Essentially, people use pit latrines. It's a situation whereby up to about, 20, 50 families would be using one pit latrine. The price and the quality of water is the quality is bad and the price of water is very high. A 20-liter jerry can would be up to about 20 shillings. No. Kenya shillings, that's almost half Australian dollar. Mm. Yeah. Whereas the price by the council is about 34.50 per cubic meter or 10 shillings per cubic meter. That is if you're buying it in bulk. Generally, it's crowded. It's a settlement where people have come from rural Kenya in search of the good city life, which becomes elusive, and they find themselves staying in those places. And they, the residents there basically provide labor as industrial manual workers in the industrial area, and also as guards and as cleaners in the affluent adjacent estates.
So how far out of central Nairobi is it?
It's about 5-6 kilometers, and that also makes it quite a target for people who actually have been looking at investing in land. So the people in Kibera are constantly being threatened by eviction.
And would they be family groups or largely people who come there on their own?
They're basically young people and individuals who have come to the city in search of life, and some of them have been born there, because Kibera as a settlement really started in the late 80s.
And have they ever had quality water, would you say?
Well, there's up to today, there has never been any government, effort to supply the over a million people with quality water. The efforts that are there are by individuals and also NGOs and civil society groups like ourselves.
And could you describe then, Olita, the safe water programs? I gather there are now two in operation, one in the settlement, and just last year one village in Western Kenya got a filtration system. But tell us about the impact for people in the village.
Yeah, the safe water project is just an initiative to provide safe potable drinking water to the people. Our pilot was in rural Kenya. Initially, we were thinking to start one within Kibera, but we quite didn't do that simply because of inavailability of land and also inavailability of the water itself. So we went into rural Kenya, Siaya, where also equally since independence, people have never received any investment to support in water infrastructure, and people have been depending on dams and roadside water source as a source of water.
Yes. Maybe, Mike, you could draw you in here now and tell us about this twinning, this initiative by the Tweed Shire Council, developed as a result of a meeting at a conference in 2003.
Look, thanks, Geraldine. It was a chance meeting. I was one of two organisations in Australia invited to, or our council was invited to, provide a poster presentation on capacity building at the grassroots level. And council has done a lot of work with our community through June Care and Land Care and the like, and has a very active river management committee. And for 2 days, I stood next to Walita along with the other 60 participants from around the world, and we did a poster presentation where some of the 14,000 people that were at the Third World Water Forum came by. And we had, I suppose, in Alita's eyes, an image of a quite pristine and healthy Tweed River, of which we're wanting to maintain. Mm. Alita's image is one of a community fighting to survive, of really quite deprived conditions unfamiliar to us. And so we talked for 3 days, and I came back after the conference, and actually sister cities had been a bit of an issue in the local and national press at the time. You know, council sort of getting involved in relationships with some exotic cities around the world and at executive level, I suppose. And I suggested to our council that perhaps we could use the resources that we have, our people and our skills and some of our financial resources, to make a difference to the life of a third world community. And council embraced that, and one thing led to another, and ultimately we established the Tweed Canyon Mentoring Program. It's funded by Tweed Shire Council. The International River Foundation, who are heavily involved in the River Symposium, have just been fantastic supporters of us as well. We would have never gotten off the ground without the support of the International River Foundation, both financially and in terms of the profile. The Tweed community have come on board, but importantly also council's own staff on their own initiative commenced a payroll deduction scheme.
Goodness me.
And our staff are now contributing $18,000 a year to the program. And the program is really, its point of difference, I think, is that it's built on relationships. I describe it, Geraldine, as the Tweed community having a desk in the middle of the biggest slum in Africa.
Oh,
and
nice.
We support Alita and volunteers. The program has a number of different arms. I mean, we launched the program in Kibera with the Great Nairobi River Sports for the Environment Tournament. And that came out of the Moolambar Soccer Club sending over 100 kilograms of unused soccer gear. And so from that, Alita resolved that we would use the youth as the vehicle to educate and gain access to the wider community. And so they go along, they play soccer, but they do environmental workshops, they do tree planting, river cleanups and the like. So our program is really about relationships. A number of our staff have gone over to Kenya in their own time to work as volunteers for the program, and for the installation of both safe water projects, we have project officers from council go over. So it's a learning curve for us. We're still developing the program, but for a relatively small investment, I think we have made a tremendous difference to the lives of some people in Africa.
I think council actually matches, doesn't it, any amount that is donated by the staff?
Originally, council put in $10,000 a year to start the program along with the International River Foundation. And for the first year, that was the only money we had. Our staff contributions, the staff came to me and said, look, Mike, we'd like to commence the payroll deduction scheme. That has grown. We haven't forcibly gone out and marketed that, Geraldine, but it's now $18,000 a year. Mm. And a couple of months ago, council said, well, if that's good enough for the staff, we'll match it. And so council have now matched that by putting in $18,000 a year. But we have great support from the local community. It really has been across all sectors of the community. Service clubs and businesses have come to us and wanted to be part of the program. And it's a two-way street, Geraldine. It's not only about what we can do for Kenya. It was always, for us, an opportunity to bring the life of a third world community into our organisation and into our community. And our leader and others have been over here over the last 5 years, sponsored by the International River Symposium. When they do come, they arrive early and leave late, and they get billeted in our community. And it's provided an opportunity for our staff, particularly, to have a better appreciation of the life that they have.
It is a terrific story, I must say. I've just got to ask Alita whether you think it has improved the water quality around Kibera. Has it actually had that tangible impact?
Okay, that probably is going to take time, given when we started. We launched the program in 2005, and real operations started very much 2006, 2007, 2008. We had a bit of violence, and
just and a bit.
In that period, we were basically working to educate. Basically, the emphasis had been to reach out to the community, share our experience when it comes to examples and models of environmental conservation, and start up small initiative. Already we've been able to set up a tree nursery, and out of that we've been able to propagate up to about 7,000 tree seedlings, with emphasis to the indigenous seedlings, which actually we've been supplying to the youth clubs and schools around to plant, which actually have also been coupled by education. A youth network calling itself YClean, an exciting youth net club of about 5,000 youths coming out of the football.
Because you have a lot of lack of opportunity, don't you, for paid employment among the youth there?
Yeah, very much so. That is actually the agenda at the moment, given that 2007, 2008, there was the election violence. Over the disputed election, the youths were in the forefront, and one of the demand, or rather the national agenda that really was put at the table when the politicians were negotiating for peace, was really youth employment.
That must have been very dispiriting, Alita, to have that happen.
No, it was. It was, because not only did we watch the youths really being in the forefront of the violence, but also the violence has basically, affected them adversely. And it is at that particular point also that the program had a turning point. Our focus became mainly to work with the youth support networks that actually, to support them to create networks and organizations that would really enable them to dialogue. You know, if at all there's a problem at the very basic local level, what they do is talk. But you see, water for us and environmental becomes very easy, because for the authorities and the police, if actually you're having a community meeting for cleanup and you basically discuss other leadership aspects, things to do with corruption, things to do with the lack of governance, it's very safe, because they'll only be regarded as a water organization. But if at all you're doing the other, confrontational stuff, they don't allow you to meet. So that has been the violence by itself, and the very fact that we started working with the youth and we've created these networks have really provided us a very good opportunity
you've
for rapport with government.
You've turned it to your advantage. I'm just going to come to Mike for a final question. Obviously, this is just, by the sound of you both, this has grown far more in a way than you'd both dreamed, which is a fantastic story. Could you tell me, Mike, about the sponsorship of a couple of the youngsters that's been helped by the Tweed Kenya Mentoring Program? Because I don't think that was your original plan, but it certainly turned into that.
Look, our plans have changed over the course of the program as options have sort of opened up to us. But young Samuel Mwangi was an orphan that had been identified by Alita during that initial launch of the program at the soccer tournament. And two of our staff, a family that decided that they would like to bring Sam to Australia for 6 months. For some help of some friends, we were able to organise that. Sam came and lived in the Tweed community for 6 months. He attended the local school, and he was the living face of the program in the Tweed community. He went back to Nairobi. 6 months later, the family came to me and they said, look, we'd like to possibly arrange to bring Sam back to Australia to finish his high schooling. A trust fund was established for Sam with the help of the Australian Embassy in Nairobi and with the High Commissioner for Kenya in Canberra, who was well aware of the work that we were doing and who had been to the Tweed. We finally got approval for Sam to obtain a student's visa. He's now living with that family in Mwulumbar. He's attending a local school. He's engaged in soccer, and he is really the living face of the program. And he has been given an opportunity, and he has taken that with both hands. He's academically, he could barely speak English when he arrived, and he is so studious and committed, and he's a wonderful example of what we can do. And I'm sure one day he'll return to Kenya as a leader of his own country.
Well, look, it is an inspirational tale, I must say. Congratulations to you both. Mike Rayner, to you, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Geraldine.
Yeah, pleasure too.
And Alita Ogonjo, thank you to you and good luck.
Good luck to you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Geraldine.
And Mike is General Manager of the Tweed Shire Council. Alita is the River Symposium Ambassador. That River Symposium starts this week, and a Kenyan sociologist and educator. And you never know, as I said, it could be something that you could copy in your particular community.